All right, well, welcome everyone today. Say hello to somebody.
Hello, somebody.
Now say it to the other person that you forgot the first time. Let them know that you care about them. And just a heads up, it's my fault. I didn't. Hello, everyone. If you would like to let you know, we have what's called our Vine Kids Ministry. If you have any child, like 5 weeks to fifth grade, if you would like to go back there, you can hang out with them for a minute, or if you would like to see what we have Jesus on their level. It's my fault I didn't announce that earlier. I should have. So if you would like to do that, we have them back there during the service, or they can hang out in here with you. Trust me, it's going to be okay if they are, but just want to throw that out there for anybody who needs a break for a moment, and they've probably been dousing their kids with the sugar over there in the garden area. So just thank you for hanging out with us. But today's a special day here at the Vine as we're celebrating ordination, and we're going to kind of talk about what that is, but we're also going to be diving into a two-hour sermon today. 2 hours, is that what we talked to? 2-hour sermon today about in 1 Corinthians 10 in our series called How to Thrive in Christ. And just really quickly, we've been walking through the book of 1 Corinthians as a church together, and the reason that we're doing it is Paul is writing a Corinthian culture that's very similar to ours. They live in a culture that says, you live by your truth, and I'll live by my truth. The problem for the Corinthians became when they were Christians, they could no longer live in the truths of the world and instead are called to live in the truth that is Christ and share that with everyone that Christ places in their path. So Paul is trying to help the Corinthians. Bless you. God bless you. Paul is trying to help the Corinthians. I'm allergic to me too, whoever did that. It's all good. Paul is trying to help the Corinthians understand how to walk in the truth of Christ instead of continuing in the truths of the world. And so we're going to kind of unpack that a little bit today as we talk about ordination. So really quickly, I want you to let two people know around you. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. It's a lot, I know. God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. God sees you, God hears you, God loves you. Wherever you are online, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Yes, God does love you on both sides, both sides. So that being said, wherever you are, and up top, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Wherever you are, God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. I want you to have that frame of reference today as we dive into the 1 Corinthians 10. And we're going to wrap up our time in 1 Corinthians 10 today, and we're going to be diving into this for the glory of God. How appropriate is that to talk about on an ordination Sunday? So how many of us, not a raise of hands because I'm not going to be singling us out, but all of us have probably made a decision that we thought only affected us, right? But it affected others. As we get older, we realize all of our decisions do not only affect us, they affect others. Parents specifically, you know this more than anything. Like, your decisions don't just affect you. You have children that they affect. Now, when you think about those decisions that affected others, how many of us can say in our brain, you don't have to raise your hand, just think about this to get us in the right frame of reference. How many of us made a decision that ended up helping others unintentionally? It made good for them, even if it hurt us. Now flip the script. How many of us have made a decision that helped us but hurt others? Now we can do whatever we want on that matrix. There's four quadrants there that we can go through, but that is probably the best perspective to have for what Paul is trying to help the Corinthians with. They are actually in a crazy culture in a crazy time. They are trying to figure out if they should eat food sacrificed to idols. They're in a very sexualized culture, and they're trying to figure out and navigate how to follow Jesus through that. And Paul is trying to help them understand how they can follow Jesus and share Jesus in all seasons. And that's what he's going to pick up today in 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to be in verse 31 to 33. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to 1 Corinthians 10, 31 to 33. Now, when I walk through this, we're going to leave this on screen because we're going to have a small amount of teaching on this just a little bit today. Can we do that in God's house? Some people are excited, Lord. They want to hear about you. It's okay. We'll be excited about that. We'll try it again in a minute. So that being said, if you don't have a Bible, as always, we have them over in the garden area. If you want to go pick that up, you can. Again, you're not going to offend me if you want to act like you're picking up a Bible and pick up a cupcake. It's not going to bother me. I'm just saying, you go do what you got to do. But as always, I'm thankful for our Vine production team. Zach Candler, make sure wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, the scripture will be on the screen for you. And we do this here at the Vine every week. So you got to hang in here with me, okay? If you're at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, give me an amen. Amen. Amen in the house of the Lord today. So here we go. Let's see what Paul has to say to the Corinthians as we wrap up 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this: So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all, what does it say, church? For the glory of God. Again, if it's your first time hanging out with us, sermon titles just come straight from the scripture. You can't beat that. So it says this in verse 32 then. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Any church of God? I'm just kidding. We don't hold that. Tough crowd. This is... If the snakes come out and that's you, I'm going to let you know I'm punching you straight in the throat. I've already said it. Anyway, even it says this in verse 33, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many so that they may be saved. So church, we said that everything that we do, we're going to leave this up here really quick. It says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all. Is there a qualification there? Does it say some? Does it say for the people you like? Does it say for the people that look like you, that talk like you, that walk like you, the people that you agree with at work, the people that you don't agree with, the people that might even be your enemy? We have to love them. We have to do everything, even for them. It says, yes, everything we do for the glory of God. This is so important when we talk about the glory of God. The Greek word there is the doxa. This is the most important thing of God's character. This is what you and I are created for. All of creation sings to his glory. This is something you and I in Christ Jesus will spend eternity worshiping. The glory of God. What is the glory of God? The weight of God. See, you and I in our own power cannot handle the weight and the fullness of God. Real quick, for those who are science whizzes, as we leave this up here. Wizards is probably the better way to say that. Kids aren't in here. We're good. So science wizards, here we go. If I have a rock that has a huge weight at the top of a cliff, and the weight of the rock is to fall into a lake. And the weight of the rock is more than the density of the water in the lake. What's gonna happen to that water in the lake? It's gonna go out. It's not just gonna be any left, right? That's you and I in the glory of God. It is so overwhelming. It pushes everything out of us. And you and I may say, I don't like that. That's not something I want from my God. But the truth of the matter is, you and I are a lake of sin. And there's nothing that you and I could ever do to get out of it, to change us, to make us be work to get it, to make us be better to get it, to make us be righteous enough to get it. But the glory of God comes in through Jesus Christ and smashes all of that out. You see, for us, we live for one of two things, the glory of ourself or the glory of God. Us in our own glory leads only to death. We may go out in a blaze of glory, as the great theologian Bon Jovi says. Tough crowd again. But what happened? Do we not, Trey? I mean, what happened, brother? My goodness. But that's all we'll go out in, is a blaze of glory, dead. But in Christ Jesus, we are new and have newness of life. This is what Paul is reminding the Corinthians about. Because when they make their decisions and do everything to the glory of God, he also reminds the church in Colossae about that. Remember Colossians 3:23, it's often quoted, we work as unto God, not unto man. He says, do not cause anyone to stumble. Now that's a hard one. In other words, if somebody's struggling with something, you know, you don't take somebody who just started a diet today, don't take them to Golden Corral. Like, that's just jacked up, man. Don't go to get the hot nows at Krispy Kreme on the way out of here. They just started the diet, man. That is messed up. Because you know what they're gonna say? Well, I'll start tomorrow. And then after tomorrow, it's like, this is the last week I'm doing this. This is the last month I'm making that decision, right? Paul is saying you and I have to be conscious of that as Christians. He's reminding, as we've walked through 1 Corinthians 9 and 1 Corinthians 10, he's reminding this, but this is very important. It says, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, Paul is crushing religion, crushing the class system in this moment of time. He's saying, hey, you don't judge somebody because of what they do. You've got enough to worry about on your own. I seem to remember this guy named Jesus that said the same thing. That first you and I have to take that plank out of our eye before we help with the speck in our brother's eye. But as we've talked about here at church, it also means we still help with the speck in our brother's eye. It doesn't mean that we don't help our brother. We just got to also take care of ourselves and make sure we're right with God first, so that way we can help them get right with God. Paul is helping the Corinthians understand that everything they do to the glory of God is to help everyone get to know God's glory. He says, even as I please everyone in every single way. Now, this is Paul's all things to all people. When he's saying this, he's not saying I want you to continue in your sin and not call it out. I want you to continue in the truth of the world and not the truth of Christ and not say anything about it. I'm going to speak the truth of Christ to you. It's up to you what you do with it. Because I'm living to the glory of God. I'm living for the glory of God. Church, as Christians, we have to be reminded of everything we do in every way. It is for the glory of God. You give your time, your talent, your treasure, your relationships. You raise your kids to the glory of God. You work at your job to the glory of God. You drive to and from school to the glory of God. Kids at school, you go to school for the glory of God. I know you don't want to hear that. You do it because your mom and dad drop you off and they scream at you if you get bad grades. I know that's probably what you think, but honestly, it is for the glory of God. You raise those children, parents, for the glory of God. Grandparents, you help your children in raising those grandbabies for the glory of God. Everything you do is for the glory of God so that others may not stumble. You're not going to live in judgment and neither are they. And he goes on to say, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many and others. In other words, I'm not thinking of myself, but for the good of others. Why? So that they may be saved. Really quickly, before we talk about what ordination is, I just want to ask you to think for a moment over the last 24 hours. Where have you lived for the glory of God and for the glory of yourself? I'm not calling judgment upon you today. I'm saying the Holy Spirit will move and will reveal to you. And I will tell you this, where you've lived for the glory of God, you've planted seeds of the gospel, and you may have seen it right away. But it may be something you may not see for 10 years from now. It may be something you may not see for 10 years later. But I tell you what, it's to help someone not stumble. And instead of knowing your glory, they're going to know the glory of God, the only one that can save. Where you've lived for the glory of yourself, you have a moment. You can leave that to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been living for the glory of me. I've made myself the God of my own life. Instead, I want to make sure I'm doing everything for your glory. Because that's what you and I are going to do in heaven in Christ Jesus. We're going to unpack that later, but I just want to say today, the Holy Spirit may be knocking on your heart. Don't neglect that. And when I say the Holy Spirit, you're hearing something right now and something's telling you, hey, this is where I've lived for the glory of God. This is where I've not lived for the glory of God. And we want to help you walk through that today because I know the people that we're about to celebrate in ordination would want that for you more than anything. When I say ordination today, what in the world is ordination? Well, today I want to talk to you about why we are celebrating this. It is the church's recognition today of affirming and confirming the calling that God has placed upon someone's life. Specifically today, it's pastoral ministry. This is something that we celebrate as a church. It is something, I equate ordination as something that's a big deal, but can almost be like, okay, not a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's kind of like baptism. If you're not baptized, you can still go to heaven. But baptism is a huge next step you take in the calling on your life and all that Jesus has for you. And this is why we gather together here today as a Vine fam and as a church fam, is we want to celebrate this calling that God has upon the lives of Alex Hanvey and Tracy Freeman. I'll call them up in just a little bit. They're not going to come up just yet, but we're going to unpack what this is. I want to make sure I make this clear, though. When we talk about ordination, we're not ordaining them because of the education they have, because the years of preaching experience they have, because they've given to a special fund, or they wrote a check to me. Right? Go ahead and wrote a check. We'll meet in the parking lot later. Not because they wrote a check to me, not because that they've done something that I've wanted them to do, that they've preached from this version of the Bible that I want them to preach from, none of that. This is a confirmation of the call that God has already placed upon their lives. This is where you and I, we are going to walk through their confirmation, but we are affirming them as a church body and surrounding them and supporting them in this call that God has placed upon their life. So what happens during this? Well, first of all, they have to be a Christian. All Christians can be ordained, by the way. What does that mean? They're not living for their glory, but for God's glory. So let's just make that clear. But what happens is each one of them, both of these candidates today, have written their testimony or their salvation story and submitted it to our ordination committee. That is currently our pastoral advisory team. As we grow, that will grow out and be made of different members, probably from different bodies. But these are men that know the Lord, that understand what this is about, understand the weight of this, the importance of this, and they pray over that. After they write their testimony down, they are submitted to questions in that testimony about who Jesus is and how salvation comes about through Jesus, how to share the gospel with somebody. Because that's pretty important if you're going to be preaching or helping someone, right? Like you would want to be able to communicate that in an effective way, the best way you can. I mean, the Holy Spirit's going to help you do that, let's be honest. But they do that to the best of their ability, and this shows their biblical training and their knowledge. It asks, and they walk through the questioning of their gifting and their calling to ministry. Who has seen this call upon their life? Who has confirmed that in their life? Talks about their character. More on that here in just a moment. And they reference their character, and they go through that. We did some pretty hard, deep dives. I mean, some great stories about that time in Tijuana we were together. Y'all were, no, we don't. Okay, that's not true. That didn't happen. Don't get excited about that whenever you're watching this 1,000 years later, because the internet is forever. That did not happen, so I want to make sure I do that. But they have a character. They have their character referenced, but also they bring a witness that can testify to their character, testify to the calling of their life, testify to what God has done and called them to do. And so today, what happens is after all of that happens, we're going to hear from the witnesses here in a moment, but these two candidates have already gone through the ordination committee. They've been approved. They got approved by the ordination committee. I think both of their checks cleared, like we said. That was great. It's a great donation. I couldn't believe they both wrote that many zeros before the decimal. That was amazing. I'm joking, y'all. We don't have toilet bowls with money hidden in it at our church. We don't do that. We load in and load out. It is what it is. I will tell the ushers to lock the doors and take up a tithe if I have to. I mean, we don't do that here. That's not how we rock. We got to have fun in the house of the Lord. So in this seriousness, you hear me breaking that, but in the seriousness of it, they've gone through that. They've submitted their questions. They've been approved by the board for that. And now you and I are getting together today to affirm that with them. We're going to lay hands on them at the end of the service and pray over them. And we're going to come along with them and lock arms with them. We already are doing that, but this is just something to be held on to, just like baptism. It's something for them to remember and something for each and every one of us to remember. And I want to say before we get into the character, I know the heart of both of these. If you have questions, especially with kids, about what's going on, we'd love to help you with that, because there's no better way to point to Jesus, because I think both of them would agree that this is what today is all about. It isn't about them. It's about Jesus. It's about giving God glory. So let's see about this test of character, what their character is, really quick before we call the candidates up here in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 7. So if you got your Bible, you're going to flip there. If not, you can go ahead. It's going to be on the screen for you here. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 1 through 7, and it gives the qualifications of an overseer or a deacon in the church, this character reference, and it says this: here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. Before we go on, we're calling both their wives forward. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. Y'all got to have some fun. Heaven is not going to be boring, y'all. You got to laugh. Like, maybe y'all will be in a different quadrant than me, but I'm going to see you. You're going to hear my side laughing. We're going to have fun because y'all got to put up with me. So that being said, it says this. They're not a lover of money. Verse 4, he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So as we said this again, there's nothing in here that says about they have to have a certain amount of education or a master's of divinity or here. Really quickly, the reason we don't do that is I just want to say the one who would have wrote the book on the master's of divinity, there's nothing wrong with that if that's a qualification of the church, but the one who would, his name's Paul. He's probably one of the smartest people that's ever lived. We just read from Corinthians. We just read what he wrote to Timothy. He still sat under the tutelage and under Peter and John, who were uneducated men, before he went out preaching and was commissioned, and before he went out and had the affirmation and his ordination of his calling. So it is about what God has called you to do in the body of Christ, okay? That is why we celebrate these two men today. So I'm going to go ahead and have Alex Hanvey and Tracy Freeman come forward here, and we're going to bring them up in front of the church real quick, and these are the two candidates we have for ordination. They're going to stand beside me, and then we'll call witnesses up here in a minute. Come up here and say what they want to do. You're welcome to bring the chairs up and sit up here. You can stare at everybody funnily. I don't care. You do what you want to do. Oh, y'all are getting my good side too. This is going to be real fun. You can do this. Y'all can split. You're good. You can sit on either side. That'll work. All right. So we have Tracy and Alex here. So that the church may know yourselves to be called by God that Christ is your Lord and Savior, and have this affirmation of the calling that God has on your life into pastoral ministry, do you both know and call today that you are ordained as ministers of pastoral ministry? If so, say we do. Yes, these both do. That's good. If they said we don't, I was in trouble. We were going to have some problems. We were going to have to redo this. So that being said, both of these men have brought the preach at the Vine here. We've celebrated them. They've given their testimony. They've gone through the questioning. They've been confirmed by our ordination committee. And today they've selected witnesses that can testify to their calling to pastoral ministry. And so first and foremost, I'm going to call Mr. Randy Hanvey up here to speak on Alex Hanvey. You guys can.
Is that okay? Now we're going. As Tyler said, and first of all, good morning. Tyler said, my name is Randy Hanvey. Some people know me as Chump Hanvey. Other people know me as Alex's dad. You know, when we have children, we become their dad instead of who we are. So, I want to say that this is a very proud moment for me. And I told Alex earlier that this was going to be hard for me to get through. But I'm going to do it. So, I have watched Alex and his walk with God, as I have with our other two children, Mary Beth and Shannon. And Susan and I have been very blessed in the children's department as far as raising God-fearing children. That didn't have a lot to do with us. It was kind of in spite of us. but I've watched a very timid and shy child become the man that you see today. When he was probably 3 or 4, if you spoke to Alex, he would hide behind me or Susan. He would not say anything. All our children were like that. And it used to be so frustrating because somebody would come up and ask them something and they'd get behind you and wouldn't say anything. But Alex grew. And he was doing real well. We lost my mom when Alex was probably about 8, and it kind of backed him up a little bit. But then as Alex grew older, he became involved in sports. His wrestling coach and father-in-law is here today. That helped to bring Alex out. And a preacher that we had at the time, his name was Mr. Clayton Price. Clayton signed Alex up for a lay speaking class. And Alex wasn't old enough to drive, so he signed Alex's dad up for the lay speaking class also. So we both shared that together. And it has just grown from there. To where Alex is what I want to be. When I grow up, when Tyler asked me to do this, we all want our children to be prepared for whatever it is that they're going into. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, is Alex prepared to become ordained? I've seen him speak. He's got the background, he's got the knowledge, but is Alex prepared? And the more I thought about it, I started writing down things about Alex. And I want to read a couple of them to you, if I can. Alex is a man that fears the Lord. And when I say fear, it's not that he's scared, but he fears it. He trusts him, and he lives under his authority. He follows God's commandments, and he seeks to obey them daily. He understands that God is the ultimate authority in his life as well as his home. He has integrity in everything that he does. He's honest and he's truthful. In everything that I've ever known him to do, he doesn't look for excuses or to find ways out of anything. He repents when he fails. And you see the same person in public as well as in private. He's very positive. He's always looking at the bright side. He's not prideful. He loves his church. He puts others before himself. And he's real hard to anger. But if you get him to that point, you better move. But with the help of God, he's able to control that. He looks to every situation, how can I turn this into something that will glorify God? He aims to please God in all that he does. He tries to be an example for his family. But most of all, he strives to live a life that is pleasing to God and reflect his character. When I got through writing some of these things down, I said, let me see what the Bible says a godly man is. Because as Tyler said a while ago when he was naming off the characteristics of someone who would be ordained, godly is where I always think of someone in that position being a godly person. And when I did that, this is what I found. A godly man, according to the Bible, is one who fears the Lord, walks in integrity, loves sacrificially, and guards his heart. He prioritizes God's will, actively serves him, and strives to reflect Christ-like character in all aspects of his life. And I couldn't believe how much those things that I'd written down about him align with that definition. So, is Alex prepared? He is. You know, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, when Jesus came up out of the water, the dove descended, and God said, my son. For which I am very pleased. Alex, your dad knows how God felt. You know, when I was thinking about doing this, it went off pretty good. And it went off without all these tears. But if you've ever watched Alex preach in his earlier days, matter of fact, the first time he ever preached, he couldn't get through the sermon because of him crying. I'm going to tell you something real quick, and then I'm going, Tyler, I know I went more than 10 minutes, but you don't ask somebody to speak about their children and limit them to 10 minutes, Tyler. Come on. But no, it's Alex comes from a long line of ministers. His dad didn't make it. It skipped my generation and my dad's generation. Something happened to us, but my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, and my great-grandmother all were ministers. So I know there's a celebration going on in the heaven today. So, Tyler, thank you for allowing me to share this. And Alex, I love you, son.
Yeah, I don't know if I can follow that well, Tracy. I don't know if I can do that. I mean, that's it, y'all. This is, I will say this. I'm speaking as, I know the heart of both of these, and I would say as, I know you as Alex's dad too, I'm sorry. I think that the heart of the Lord is reflected in that, and I think that these two would both say that that's their whole heart, is that every one of you would know God sees you, God hears you, and God loves you. Maybe you didn't have that on this side of heaven. Like, you know, maybe you didn't have a great relationship with your father. Maybe you have no relationship with your father. And I want you to know that there is a loving father. And I think these two would say that there is a loving father that created you, that does want to be in a good and right relationship with you. And that's when I think about Tracy. What I wanted to share with you is I know that both of these would say the same thing. I think Tracy, you didn't wrestle, did you? I can't deal with this. I was going to have you two. Alex would win. I tried it earlier, and I tried to sprawl on him, and I hurt my hip or something. I just let there, and he ran the cross face on me, and we cried for a little bit. It was messed up. It was good times, but shoot the half, right? That's what I was saying. Coach just keeps yelling at me. I'm like, I'm trying. Well, half of what? Anyway, it's my wrestling coach. She used to always say that, and I'm just like, we're in the up position. What am I shooting the half for? Sorry, Tracy. Somber time. So for Tracy, I'm thankful I get to speak a little bit about Tracy with you today, and just wanted to share with you, I don't have any crazy good stories that I have outside of Jesus in him. I will say when it comes to Tracy and when it comes to him knowing the Lord, he shared the gospel here and here at the Vine. He's been a part of the Vine, gosh, for a long time, I think, 80, 90 years, I think, something like that. A long time. Just kidding. This is being important. It is. But Tracy met Jesus at the age of 11, and he was baptized at Welcome Baptist Church. When we talk about Tracy, I can tell you one of my favorite stories of him is not just family and friends seeing this calling to share the gospel upon his life. And that's what he would tell you, that this is what this is. This isn't a preaching. This is a call to share the gospel. One of my favorite stories, and I'm going to butcher it, and I'm going to try my best, and if I do, and when I do, I would tell you to ask him about it, because I feel like he would want to make this very clear to you. It's one of my favorite stories about Tracy that he shares about having an encounter with the Holy Spirit is when he was sitting at home, and there was like almost like a hurricane wind, this mighty rushing wind that came about him, and he felt everything in his life was torn out. He felt God at his right hand, and he was empty, and all of a sudden, this Olympic-sized swimming pool of God's love just came crashing down inside of him, and it was the dwelling, no doubt, of the Holy Spirit in his life, and I didn't get to do that as well as he could tell it, I know, but I would tell you to talk to him about that, because it's one of the things that I love the most about is he understands, as a man called to be ordained, that we're emptied out. There's nothing... Nobody standing up here thinks we bring anything to the table. Tracy knows that. Alex knows that. I know that. There's nothing that I could stand up here and tell you that I bring to the table. There's nothing that I can bring to God but my faith and trusting what he has called and created me to be. Same for Tracy, and he knows that. I can tell you we've had real estate deals together. We've bought and sold houses together. We've had many conversations on the back end of those, and just talking through life, just in our conversations are usually about Jesus. About what heaven's going to be like, about how to reach this people, about this organization, about this homeless ministry. Last time I think we talked was about a homeless ministry near him. Just kind of how they had worked things out and how they helped people with, I think, drones is what we were talking about. They were helping find homeless people with drones and bring the gospel to them. Like, how crazy cool is that? But everything that he wants to do is share the gospel. Everything he wants to do is to point to Jesus. I've got to just lean into him, and I know that his heart is that. And I will tell you, like I said, I have no doubt in my mind that he wants to share the gospel. I have no doubt in my mind that he wants to surrender it, everything that he's doing to the Lord, because he tries the best that he can to do that. He's preached at funerals. He's preached at people hanging together. But the second story I want to share with you about Tracy is what's true for all of us, I think, that know the Lord, is when he got a phone call one night that someone had passed away, and the Lord gently reminded him, "You never even told her about me." And from that moment on, he said, that's not ever going to happen again. That's the determination. And that's what I know Tracy lives with. I know Alex has the same thing. Like, let there never be a moment that passes. Life's too short. Life's too fleeting to let a moment pass away that we don't share the hope of the gospel and the hope of who Jesus Christ is. And so today, I don't have a doubt that Tracy is ready to take this step and this confirmation. Both of these men would say, this is a confirmation. It's an important thing, but it's also not that to their glory. Like, we're not going to have banners with their names flopped down, right? No, we're not going to have banners with their names, and I will tell you they would probably punch me if that happened. They would just want Jesus' name known. And so as we get ready to come into this moment, I again want to say I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a part of both of these men's lives. I can't follow you, Alex's dad, Chunk, Mr. Randy Hammond. I can't follow you, but I will say this. Both of these men would want you to know the Lord more than anything. See, today, again, this is not about their glory. They want Jesus to get the glory. They are emptied out. Today we talk about for the glory of God. We've talked about where you live your life for the glory of. And it made me think of a cat and a dog. Neither one of these two, or I'm not characterizing any of these two. And I'm not talking about Milo and Otis, although that was good times. You see, a cat and a dog look at things two different ways, don't they? See, they're both pets. People love them both. You pet them, you feed them, you give them treats, you give them shelter. See, when you do that to a cat, you know what a cat's thinking is? I'm getting served. I must be God. All the cat people did not like that. That's okay, because you know where I'm going. It is true. A cat thinks that it's God, and you are serving it. That is why the cat chooses you. By the way, I deem you to give me treats and pet me. You know why they bring you dead birds? It's not because they love you. It's because you're the only one who gets some good treats, and they haven't seen you eat in a week, and they're trying to give you something to eat because nobody else will give it to them. Did we get a cat crowd? Does everybody over here have cats? Did you not tell me? I know you're... Anyway, so a cat does that, really. They think they're God. A dog, you feed a dog, you pet a dog, you give a dog treats, and you shelter it. It thinks, I must live with God. Can you see the difference? Now, I'm not bashing cats or dogs, but I'm going to tell you, you and I, we live our lives thinking that we are God and that everybody's supposed to serve us and that we are working to earn our own glory. And to be quite honest with you, that simple thing is sin. It's sin. It only leads to death. Sin. Sin is anything that is opposed to God. Sin is anything that is against the will of God. You and I keep trying to earn our own righteousness. We're searching for something that is embedded inside of us. It is a song that we didn't even know that sounds so familiar. It's a path that we've walked on that is ingrained in us. It is a discovery for something. I want to tell you something. That cat and dog, they're not worried about if they're the only thing on this planet. They're not worried about what's in the universe. They're not worried about their purpose. They are not created for that, but you and I are. And we are searching for something, and that something is God, Creator God. The problem becomes when you and I are God of our own lives and live in our own glory, this sin separates us from God, and we can't come into His presence. We can't handle the weight of His glory. If we tried to, it would kill us. And so instead of leaving us in that state, God said, I'm going to make a way for you because I see you, I hear you, and I love you. And I'm going to make a way, and I'm going to send my son to live the perfect sinless life you can't live, to die the death you deserve on the cross for your sins. And I'm going to raise him again on the third day. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you can live life and live it to the full. You can live in my glory. You can have communion with me now. You don't have to wait to experience my glory. You don't have to be like Moses with a veil upon your face. You can experience me fully, so much so I will come to live in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, will you just receive this gift of faith? See, right now, your relationship with your Father matters. You may think that God doesn't see you, He doesn't hear you, He's trying to catch you in a trap, but the most famous verse in the Bible shows us that it is not. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 reminds us, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is not standing there mad at you, shaking his head, saying, when are you going to figure it out? When are you going to figure it out? No, he's standing there with open arms saying, come home. Come home. Stop trying to prove yourself. Stop trying to live for the glory of yourself, the glory of a career, the glory of success, the glory of a relationship, the glory of perfect kids, the glory of the perfect house, the glory of the perfect car. Stop. Just come to me and you'll find everything that you were searching for. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, I just want to ask you, who are you living for the glory of? Are you seeing all these blessings of God around you and think that it is there to serve you, that everything that is happening in your life is for your glory? Or do you realize today that your glory will only lead you to death and that you need a Savior? See, we're about to say a prayer today out loud as a Vine fam, and we pray out loud together because nobody prays alone here at the Vine. And this words of this prayer, they're not going to save you. You can say this prayer 1,000 times. It's not going to save you. It's this prayer of faith. And what we're saying again in this prayer is that we are confessing our sin, confessing that we are trying to live for ourselves, being God of our own lives, trying to seek our own glory. And we are laying that down to receive the fullness of God's glory, making him God of our life, turning from our life of sin, trusting Jesus as our Lord and Savior has paid the price for us fully, eternally, for all of our sin, so that we can live in the fullness of God's glory now. And how do we do that? In loving God and loving others. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer out loud after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you could say for the first time you have surrendered your life to Christ, you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something bold on the count of three. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly. You just slip it up and put it back down. That's all you got to do on the count of three. If for the first time you have given your life to Christ, 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house and you've given your life to Christ, you can slip that up and put it down. If you're watching online and you've given your life to Christ, shoot us a message. You can reach us in our app. You can shoot a comment. We want to celebrate this decision with you, because here's the deal. This isn't the finish line of the rest of your life. You didn't just run this marathon and fall down. You're just at the starting block of the rest of your eternity. And the way that you fully run the race God has marked out for you is in the local church. And maybe you're not close to us and there's a local church close to you. We want to get you in touch to that, because we want to celebrate this decision with you and help you grow in the Lord. And for the rest of us, if you want to go ahead and you can stand up, we're going to have this moment of worship. And I'm going to pray very quickly in this moment of worship. And my prayer is going to be that we just be reminded that we get to live for the glory of God. And in living for the glory of God, we are not what the world says we are. We are not what our friends say we are. We are not what a pastor stands up here and say we are. We are who God says we are. So that's going to be my prayer really quickly. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this amazing celebration. Thank you that, Jesus, you have gone before us as our forerunner. You have ran the race. You have made the way for us. You have already blazed the trail for us. Jesus, you just call us to follow you step by step. You never promised that it's going to be easy, but you promised that we can have your peace in the midst of every season, in the midst of every circumstance. So Jesus, right now, I just pray as we hear the shouts of the world and the chaos and the noise of the world, that they would just be silenced and we would hear who you created us to be. And Jesus, as we walk in who you created us to be, we get to live for your glory. And when we live for your glory, you work all things out for our good. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Who am I that the highest can? was lost, but he brought me in. His love for me, oh, his love for me. Through the sunset spree, oh, his free indeed. I'm a child. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
Sun.
We're going to do something here in just a moment. We have all of our kids in here. I know that this is a crazy thing, but the whole point of this is to hopefully have some engaging conversations with them about what in the world just happened. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Tracy, if he'll bring up a chair or two, and I'm going to bring Alex and Tracy back up here. And what we're about to do is we're about to lay hands on them and pray with them as an entire church family. But I got a question first I need to ask you. Does everyone here as our Vine fam, and if it's your first time here, you're considered our Vine fam here at the Vine Church, do you affirm today that Tracy Freeman and Alex Hamby are set apart for pastoral ministry and that you will support them and pray for them and the journey that God has for them? If so, signify by saying we do. We do. Amen. On this affirmation, I'm going to ask everyone to come forward, and we're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them and pray for this calling that God has upon their lives. For everyone watching online, the feed may or may not cut off. If it doesn't, that's okay. You may hear us pray. That's great. If not, we'll see your smiling face next week. I'll try my best. Pray you'll do it. Josh will do it. It took a yet. All right, everybody's going to be coming in and making their way down, and we're going to wait for everybody to get in here. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Get a hand on somebody, and we'll all get ready to pray and trust the Lord for what he has for these two men that he has ordained. All right, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, just thank you for Alex and Tracy both, Jesus. Just thank you that they both know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, that's the most important thing they would both say. But we most importantly just want to be able to be a part of supporting them, Lord, and supporting them in what you called them to do, this race that you called them to run, this race that you have marked out before them, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of it, Jesus, to be a part of this calling that you have on their lives. Lord, we know right now every time we take a next step of faith and we lift and shout your name high, the enemy comes crashing towards us and does everything he can to try to thwart us from it. So today, Jesus, we just pray that they would know they are not on this journey alone, that they can feel the hands and feel the family around them and know that they are not going through this alone, Jesus. Not only do they have you, but they have brothers and sisters. Just as you saved those 7,000 prophets for Elijah after he leaves Mount Carmel, that they aren't alone, Jesus. Remind them today that they aren't alone as they are going forth to be a part of you building your church in and through them. We pray right now for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them, that they would just be bold in the steps of faith that you call them to take, Jesus, as they continue to live on mission for you. And King Jesus, I just pray that they wouldn't hesitate to reach out. If they struggle with anything, that they wouldn't hesitate to reach out. If there's anything that they are walking through, Lord, that they would reach out to somebody in this circle. But Jesus, again, most of all, thank you for you, your sacrifice, and thank you for everything you've done for us. As they would say today, we do it all for your glory, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right.